The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
We, at this time, welcome our podcast audience. We welcome those that are watching and viewing. Today, we're going to be dealing with we're going to continue our last message of this series on the new insights into the days of Noah. Today, we're going to be dealing with the return of the hybrids. I want to give you a verse of scripture out of Matthew 24, 36 and 37. And while you are turning there, if you would like to follow me there, I want to give you a little bit of a backdrop of what I'm talking about. I'm going to bring this out and I'm going to show you that I believe things are resurfacing that we saw in the days of Noah. All right. But this is Matthew 24, 36 and 37. This is kind of the theme. This in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 is the theme throughout this entire series. And here's what Jesus said. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. And then Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 1, he says, that which was is that which shall be, and there is no new thing under the sun. So we know based on these two scriptures alone that if we want to get some insight into what things are going to be like, the climate, the conditions, what we're going to be dealing with in the future, we need to take examine the past. We need to take a glimpse into the past. And again, that's what we've done on message one. We did this on message two, and we're doing this today on message three. So I'm going to give you a passage out of I'm going to reference a book of Jewish history called the Book of Yasher. This book, again, was mentioned in 2 Samuel 1:18. It was mentioned in Joshua chapter 10, verse 13. But it says in the book of Jasher, I want to read this. This is Jasher 4, 18 and 19. So in case I wanted to say that, so if I get into this, people won't be freaking out, be like, where is this? Is this in the Old Testament? Is this in the New Testament? Again, I'm quoting to you from a reference of Jewish history from a book called the Book of Jasher, again, that was mentioned in the Old Testament in Joshua 10, 13, and also in 2 Samuel 1:18. But here's what it says. And their judges and rulers went to the daughters of men and took their wives by force from their husbands according to their choice. And the sons of men in those days, what days? The days of Noah, took from the cattle of the earth, the beast of the field, and the fowls of the air, and taught the mixture of animals of one species with the other in order therewith to provoke the Lord. I want to read this last part again. This is very important when we get into this. Again, the book of Jasher says, in the days of Noah leading up to the destruction with the great deluge of flood, it says there were judges and rulers in that day who went into the daughters of men and took their wives by force from their husbands according to their choice. And the sons of men in those days took from the cattle of the earth. Now this is when the sons of God, or we went over this in the first message and second message. This is when the angels that fell from their first estate fell from heaven, went into the daughters of men, bore Nephilim or giants in those days. And this all spawned from this. So I want you to keep that in mind. It says that they took the cattle of the earth, the beast of the field, and the fowls of the air. And they, quote, taught the mixture of animals of one species with the other. So there was a genetic mixture. They were taking the genetics or the genes or the DNA of one species, if you would, and they were mingling it with another. They were taking one species and they were trying to procreate with another species and producing things that God called an abomination. Or Jasher says, it provoked the Lord. And as a result of this, and God saw the whole earth and it was corrupt, for all flesh So, see, we read this and we think all flesh means all humanity. No, it didn't mean just all flesh of humanity, but it says all flesh had corrupted its ways upon the earth, all men and all animals. Because, again, I want to reiterate something here. Not only was humanity now mingled, remember, because you had these demigods that were created that were half angelic and half human. So you had the mixture of the human, but now we have the birds of the air, the beast of the earth that are now also being mingled. So the purity of the bloodline has been corrupted. I hope everybody sees that. And watch this. He says, the Lord says, I will blot out man that I created from the face of the earth, yea, from man to the birds of the air, together with cattle and beasts that are in the field, for I repent that I made them. That's the book of Yasher 4:18 and 19. Now, I want to read you something from Leviticus 19:19 and Deuteronomy 22:9. Listen what the Lord said in Leviticus 19 and Deuteronomy 22. He says, quote, this is Leviticus 19:19. You shall keep my statutes. You shall not let your livestock breed with another kind, and you shall not sow your field with mixed seed, nor shall a garment of mixed linen and wool come upon you. And then in Deuteronomy 22:9, it says, do not plant your vineyard with two types of seed, or the entire harvest will be defiled, but the crop you planted and the fruit of your vineyard. Or I'm sorry, it says both the crop you plant and the fruit of your vineyard. So we see this common theme all the way from the days of Noah, all the way up under the rulership of Moses, or the leadership of Moses under the law of Moses. God was very vocal on do not mingle the seed, whether it be the seed of man, the seed of the beast, the seed of the earth, the seeds of herbs. Do not mingle it, for in doing so, it becomes corrupt. I want everybody to see that. Now, even when you get into the New Testament, there is a parable that talks about in the New Testament where they come to the Lord of the harvest, or the master of the harvest, and they said, Lord, did you not sow wheat in the field? For there is now tares in the field. Should we go and take the tares out? And he says, no, lest by doing so, you try to remove the tare, you remove the wheat with it also, but let both grow together until the end of the age. And then I will send forth my angels from the four winds, who will come and gather the wheat into the barn, but the tares shall be bundled together and they shall be thrown into the fire. So we see again, all the way from the beginning, this was an issue. And in the end, it will be an issue. In the beginning, God wiped out the earth and all of humanity and the beasts of the earth and the birds of the air through a judgment of water. But when we go into the future, the book of Peter, or Peter the Apostle, says that the second judgment shall come by fire, and it will be a purging of fire, and it will renovate the earth. The heavens and the earth shall be renovated by fire. And again, Jesus points directly to there will be tares that will be sown into the wheat. And as a result of this, judgment is coming. This is so powerful. So now I want to bring you, that was in the days of Noah. That was in the time of Moses. And that was in the time of Yeshua, or Jesus, when he had his earthly ministry upon this earth. You say, okay, that's fair and that's good and that's swell and that's nice to know, brother. But what does that have to do with us in 2021? I'm glad you asked. Because see, if we read this and we realize that Jesus warned us, as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the return of the Son of Man. He's telling us this because he's telling us and warning us that you're going to begin to see the same things happen again in your generation, or the generation that's alive on the earth and is living and breathing and experiencing and witnessing and seeing the things that we read about in the days of Noah, and they begin to resurface again. Surely that generation shall not pass away until all things be fulfilled. So the question is, are we that generation? Well, let me read you some of these headlines. Quote, this was a headline from the publication called The Sun. Quote, scientists splice human genes into monkey brains in terrifying Planet of the Apes style experiment. According to this publication, scientists have made monkey brains larger by splicing them with human genes in an experiment reminiscent of the Planet of the Apes. Experts took the gene known as ARHGAP11B, which directs stem cells into the human brain, and placed it into the brains of common apes. The experiment ended up with the monkey fetuses having larger, more advanced, and more human-like brains, according to the study published in Science. Quote, scientists, however, opted to abort the fetuses due to possible, quote, unforeseen consequences. It echoes the plot of the Planet of the Apes movie series, in which a new race of genetically modified, that's what we're talking about today, intelligent primates takes over the Earth. Mankind carries out experiments on apes to make them smarter, only for human society to then collapse as the creatures rise up against them. So thank God somebody has enough sense to say, hey, this is probably not a good idea to be doing this, because there's been horrific consequences to this that's already been portrayed in a Hollywood style movie. Quote, humans are then left living in a primitive and tribal society, which is hunted and caged by the very creatures they help create. What could go wrong, right? The Planck Institute Molecular Cell Biology and Genetics in Germany and the Central Institute for Experimental Animals in Japan carried out the new experiments. Scientists said the test monkeys were left with larger neocortexes, the area of the brain linked to functions such as cognitive skills and language. It is the newest part of the brain to evolve and is one of the key elements that makes humans unique. Pictures published by the scientists show a comparison of a normal monkey brain and the engorged one after being pumped with this ARHGAP11B. So this is just one example of what we're talking about today. Again, according to your word, God says this is abominable. This is detestable. And it's this kind of stuff that provoked the Lord once, and we're doing it again. Quote, here's another article. Are we entering the era of hybrids? A majority now support human-animal embryos. A new study has revealed that nearly 60% of those surveyed in the United States alone felt uncomfortable using animals to grow human organs from induced pluripotent stem cells. I believe that's how you pronounce that. The process is also known as, quote, human-animal chimeric embryos, however you pronounce that there, or organisms that are created using cells from two or more species that have the potential to change how researchers study disease and generate organs and tissue for human transplants. Here it is, quote, the hopes are to one day in the future use this procedure to make it possible for someone that has been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer to have their stem cells injected into a modified swine embryo lacking its own pancreas so it can then grow the human organ for donation. We always got to have a good reason to do it, right? Quote, human animal chimeric embryos have already reportedly been created using human cells that have been injected into pigs, sheep, mice, rats, and monkeys. However, none of these procedures have been carried out in the U.S., as there is a lot of opposition to the very idea of it being carried out in the U.S. So, what happens, for example, if scientists were to grow a human brain in an animal? blurring the line between species, according to the report from the scientists, in response to ethical, social, and legal concerns. The National Institutes of Health issued a funding for HACE research back in 2015, pending the development of a new set of regulatory guidelines. Quote, while research continues in other countries and even in the U.S. through collaborations with foreign researchers and private funding, the N1H has yet to reverse its decision despite previous announcements that it would do so. Scientists have discovered recently that one of the main findings was that there seems to be very broad support, even broader than in the Japanese public, for the different steps of HACE research. Support was 59%, so a strong majority support all three steps, including the returning of the organ into a human. Therefore, it appears that the U.S. is becoming more acceptable, let this soak in, to these types of gene editing procedures in the future. Let all, take a deep breath. Let all that soak in, what's going on here. Now, the question is this anything new? Has this been going on? There's a huge conspiracy that has circulated for years that this has been going on for quite some time, and this is nothing new. In fact, there is an island in New York called Plum Island that has been the source of so many conspiracy theories over the years that there's been numerous documentaries made on this. In fact, when the Moontalk monster washed up on the shore of New York in the summer of 2008, it took the internet by storm. The creature was bloated, hairless, and appeared to have a beak. To the casual observer, it was completely unidentifiable. By the way, this is from an article written by Atlas Obscura. It's called The Island of Animal Experiments, if you want to look that up. To the casual observer, it was completely unidentifiable as any known animal species. Almost immediately, amateur cryptozoologists began asking if it had come from Plum Island. Interesting that these amateur cryptozoologists immediately began to ask if it came from Plum Island. This monster came to be variously explained as being a, quote, disfigured raccoon, sea turtle, or dog, but its body is said to have disappeared, and no firm was ever reached as to its exact origin. You know, cue the music, right? A few years later, in 2010, when the Associated Press, listen to this, reported that a human body with very long fingers had been found on Plum Island shore, the speculation exploded into high gear once again. Quote, maybe the long-fingered man didn't wash up on the shore, wrote a columnist. Maybe he was trying to escape Plum Island. While the internet, quote, had suddenly brought the rumors about sinister goings and the heavily restricted Plum Island Animal Disease Center into the limelight, the facility had long been the subject of such controversy. So this is nothing new coming out of Plum Island. Established by the U.S. Department of Agriculture in 1954 and transferred to the Department of Homeland Security following the terrorist attacks of 9/11, the goal of the research center research was supposedly to study animal-borne diseases such as foot and mouth disease, in order to prevent them from spreading. But at least, quote, and I'm giving you this article, guys. Again, this is from, and again, on YouTube, I'll put all that information up. This is from Atlas Obscura. But at least at the beginning, there was more being studied on Plum Island than disease prevention. From early on, Plum Island's infamous Building 257, this is kind of like Area 51, and it's being as far as being shrouded in mystery and conspiracy. This infamous building 257 was also being used to create new designer pathogens intended as weapons of biological warfare in the ongoing Cold War. And while these experiments were supposedly halted by Richard Nixon in 1969, many have wondered if they have continued in stealth or secrecy. Among those asking questions was a man by the name of Michael Carroll, whose 2004 bestseller Lab 257 took a hard look at the history of PIADC. In the book, Carroll goes so far as to speculate that the PIADC is the birthplace of Lyme disease. Again, I can't prove this. I'm only giving you quotes from the book, theorizing that migrating birds may have picked up infected ticks from Plum Island and carried them across Long Island Sound to Lyme, Connecticut, where Lyme was first observed in 1975. Very interesting, right? And then diehard conspiracy theorists believe that man-made diseases, no matter how deadly, are the least of what's being cooked up on the island. Some have wondered if the Montauk Monster... And again, if I have slaughtered that pronunciation of that, or pronouncing that, please forgive me. Again, that is my weakness. If anybody knows me well, pronouncing some of these words is my weakness. So I'm going to be like the Apostle Paul. Just deal with me and my folly, okay? But some have wondered if this monster, along with the long-fingered man, are government-engineered mutants or human-animal hybrids or something far worse. Predictably, the government is not going to say much about it. However, quote, I cannot comment on or list of pathogens and inventories and all those things that are sensitive information. This was according to Luis Rodriguez, who was a Plum Island research leader, who told CBS News in 2012. Let me read that again. This is what he told CBS News in 2012. This was a Luis Rodriguez, who was a researcher who researched Plum Island. He said, quote, I cannot comment on or list any pathogens and any inventories of things that are sensitive information. All right. Stop for a second. Again, take a deep breath and chew on that for a minute. Until the next time something strange washes up, again, quote, in the Hamptons, the mystery remains. So let's do a really quick 30-second synopsis of this, or recap. Again, Jesus said, as it were in the days of Noah and Lot, so shall it be at the return of the Son of Man. Solomon said, if you want to know what things are going to be like in the future, go and be a good student of history. Study history. Study these things out. That's why we're doing this. This is what has inspired me to do this series, is so we can bring to light some things of the past so that we can use them as road markers for the future. So I predict, based on the way things were in the past and how bad they got up to the day in which the judgment came, I believe, based on that, I believe we are going to see things like we just discussed today on this program go to a whole nother level. If you think the show Stranger Things is crazy, my friends, what's going to happen when we see, we get to the book of Revelation, it talks about a pit opening up and demons coming out of pits. Things coming up out of the earth and tormenting men. Coming up out of another world, another dimension. All these novels and these books and these movies and these series that are being created. Where do you think this idea stemmed from? Where do you think the movie that was made from Stephen King called The Mist, which the military was performing these experiments and they were trying to tap into another dimension or to another world, and they ended up screwing around and they opened up a portal. They opened up another door to another dimension. And I know it's fiction, but I'm telling you, when I read the book of Revelation, the fiction becomes reality. when that stuff starts. Or what about CERN, C-E-R-N, in Switzerland, trying to create this this hydrogen collider? They're trying to reenact the Big Bang theory. And they, even Stephen Hawking warned about that we should not be messing with this kind of stuff, that we could tap into interstellar dimensions or other worlds or other dimensions. But we're going to keep doing it. Why? Because it's been foretold and Jesus has warned a generation. That when you begin, oh, come on, somebody. Jesus said, when you begin to see these things coming to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. And friends, what more evidence do we need? I mean, we're cooking things up in labs. We're splicing animals and humans and creating monsters behind closed doors. We're doing things that are unethical. We're doing things that God considered to be an abomination. And again, it's going to be no different. There's going to come to a point. It's going to come to a climax, the end of the age, the end of the age of grace. The dispensation of grace is going to come to an end. It's going to come to a climax. And God himself is going to say, enough is enough. And I believe with all my heart, he's going to call his church home. And then he's going to bring about what he's already warned. And that will be the second global judgment that will sweep the earth. But this time it will not be by water, but it will be by fire. And that's what we wanted to close with today on this segment. But I've got good news for you today. Before we give you some more information on our website, I want to leave you with this good news. The Bible says that there will be a remnant in the earth that are, they know these things, they see these things, they observe these things. The book of Daniel says that as we get closer to the time of the end, the wicked will be in despair, they'll be in darkness, and they will not understand the times and seasons which we're in, but the righteous will know, they will observe, and they will discern the things that are happening. And they will prepare themselves accordingly. John says, when he returns, that we as the body of Christ should not be found naked and in want, so that we may be ready and that we may be prepared, so that when the trumpet sounds and the groom is ready to get his bride, that we are ready to be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If that's you today, listen, and you want to be ready, you want to assure you with that, I want you to pray this prayer. I don't do this very often, but I want you to repeat a prayer after me, because I want to make sure you're ready. I want you to make sure you're ready. Say, Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would forgive me of my sins. I choose to not follow my own will, but I choose to follow your will. I believe that you have a plan for my life. And according to your word, it's a plan of good and not of evil, to give me a future, to give me a hope and an expected end. And today I choose your will. Today, I choose you. I repent of my sin and I put my faith and my trust in you, Jesus Christ, who is the Lord, who is my Lord, my Savior, and the Messiah. And I believe that you're coming back again for a bride without spot, nor wrinkle, nor blemish. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Friends, good news. If you prayed that today and you really meant that from your heart, you are born again. You're saved. Your name is now in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we welcome you to the family. Real quick, guys, I want to give you some information on how you can keep up with our ministry and follow us. EndTimeHeadlines.org, EndTimeHeadlines.com. We want you to subscribe. Go to our main website. You're going to see a place you can subscribe to our daily digest. It's going to be one email in your inbox, and you'll get all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Don't forget to download and pick up our free app today. It's available both on Android and Apple devices. You can pick that up at the Apple or Android store. And again, it's absolutely free. As always, guys, we want to welcome you to follow our, we have a blog. Or again, at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's our main blog site, our main webpage. We have a podcast for you guys on YouTube or Facebook Live. You can follow our podcast on Spotify and Apple. It's there. Again, just type in End Time Headlines. You're going to find it. If you would like to be, if you'd like to support this ministry, maybe this ministry is a continual source of information, revelation. It blesses you, it encourages you, it equips you on a weekly basis. And you'd like to know more about how you can give a one-time gift or maybe even become a monthly partner to help us remain strong, even into the next year of 2021. We want to give you that opportunity to do that. And you can, again, go to visit our main website, go to the app. There's several ways you can give. You can go to the app, go to the bottom, click on the where it says donate. You can give electronically, or you can give by check or money order, and all that information is going to be there when you go to the main website. So again, guys, we love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support and your partnership of this ministry. We're going to sign off for today. Guys, we got a lot of information coming out now. A new, quote, mutated strain of the virus. We're going to be talking about that this week. So be looking for that probably on Wednesday. That's going to be our next segment. We're going to do a whole segment on that because that's some real news that I think is going to shake up the world. And it already is. So we want to get on top of that and talk about that in our next segment. So be looking for that. Until we see you then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. In Jesus' name, God bless.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. Pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.